Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a proud leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. Now, the goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be sitting down with Matt Cromwell, who is a partner at WordImpress, a San Diego-based plugin development shop. Among many other great plugins, WordImpress are the creators of Give. It's a relatively new plugin designed to make accepting donations directly on your WordPress website both easy and effective. It's the perfect representation of Matt's underlying philosophy when it comes to WordPress. Give. Invest in the WordPress community and watch as the return on that investment comes back to you over time in interesting and valuable ways. So when Matt and I caught up on Skype recently, he shared this philosophy, his WordPress story, and a whole lot more. Here's our conversation. Matt, welcome to Divi Nation.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. We've been trying to connect for a little while now. We did our pre-interview weeks ago, maybe months ago now, well before the WordCamp Miami, which we got to meet at in person, which was really nice.
Yep, that was great. WordCamp Miami was a good one this year.
Absolutely. You presented there, right?
Nope. My partner, Devin, did. Yep.
That's right. What did he present on?
He presented on using third-party code in your projects.
Nice. Looks like you're at the office again today. Is that like pretty normal? You work from home sometimes or what's that?
Yeah, I work from home on Wednesdays, one day a week. But I like having the flexibility. But you know, when I was freelancing, it was great to work from home. Now I kind of really enjoy the mix and having kind of like a dedicated workplace. So
one of the things I like to ask people while we're on the topic of where we work and how we work is what just a typical work day is like for you. A lot of people in the WordPress community approach work very differently. Our guest last week, Amber, she said she loves to sleep in and get like 10 hours of sleep every night and start her work, you know, midday, but then work really, you know, work into the night or into the evening. Had a couple other people like that. Then we have people who have completely different schedules. I'm kind of an early bird. What does your typical work day look like?
Well, I'm a early bird by necessity, more or less. I'm a family man. I got three kids and I really... the only way I get to see them and spend time with them is if I'm able to be home in the late afternoon, early evening. So I try to get into the office pretty early, usually around 7:30. And I'm here usually till like 4:30 or 5 and then take off and spend the rest of the early evening with them. And then probably log in one more time after the kids are in bed, like 9:30, and just do a couple little catch-up emails and whatnot. I try to keep things pretty regular that way. I find that having my schedule really regular really keeps me more efficient and focused and getting things done. So like I mentioned, I have that one day on Wednesdays where I'm working from home, and that day is actually very irregular. It's because I'm kind of helping my wife to do her work that day. So I'm with the kids part of the time, but they're sleeping also for their nap time. But Wednesday's kind of just a different day altogether. So I kind of work from when I wake up until I go to sleep.
Oh, wow. Does that work for you? Is that how you like it? Or is that just, like you said, just kind of necessity? Or have you kind of found a balance between both?
Yeah, it's a balance between both. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday is really a pretty regular, you know, 9-to-5 kind of feel a little bit. And then Wednesday is like ultimate flexibility.
That's kind of cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Well, another thing that we like to do right off the bat is just hear each guest, what I call their WordPress story, you know, how they got introduced to WordPress and what the road looked like from that first introduction into what they're doing now, because now you're, you know, working at a fairly popular or up and coming WordPress company, and you're speaking or at least attending and promoting a lot of WordCamp stuff, and you're all around the community. So what's the, you know, first moment to that look like?
Yeah. Well, I actually have a background more in education, I did a lot with different faith-based communities and churches and academic institutions. And specifically when I was in, I actually spent some time in Germany. And when I was there, I was helping out the small private school, private college to get to transition to an online in classroom. They wanted to have an online extension of their school, and jumped into a system called Moodle, which is an open source learning system, LMS, basically.
Oh, okay.
That kind of really, I had fiddled a lot with HTML, CSS a lot up until that point, but that really made me like jump in head first and really dig into PHP and JavaScript and a lot of other things. But all of that had been very much more almost like volunteer driven. So, and I was continuing to try to further my education, got a master's in theology and a master's in history. And I was going to be pursuing a PhD in history, actually. And all of that is really expensive and takes a lot of time. Yeah. And so I was actually basically funding my education with projects. And I was able to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was able to do that eventually by jumping into WordPress. So a friend of mine needed some help building out some church websites, and he asked me if I knew how to do WordPress. And I said, nope, but I can try. And
I can learn.
Yeah. So I jumped head first in with him, and it's kind of, it's been, all uphill from there, basically. Uphill in a good way. So
that's interesting that, you got into church websites and nonprofits and educational builds. I actually think, particularly on the education side, those are some challenging websites to build. What was that like as a beginner? Like, did you depend heavily on tools, or did you just have to get good fast?
I had to get good fast, especially with Moodle. Moodle has actually a pretty large learning curve, especially when you aren't particularly familiar with PHP at that time. Like I wasn't. and so I did have to learn a lot really quickly, but fortunately, I mean, that's the big benefit when you get it. I was really, really lucky to get into that job that I had. I was really not highly qualified for it. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And so I was fortunate that my job was to get this online system up and running. It wasn't that I was, I had a couple other classes that I was teaching, in the classroom as well. That I had already had done.
So this is before you were doing any kind of freelance work. This was at a actual job that you had?
Before I was teaching and before I did WordPress and all that, I was fortunate to get into that because it forced me to learn quickly. Mm. But it also gave me the space. Like that was the thing. I had the space to do that. And
well, you seem like you'd be uniquely qualified to speak on something that I'm really quite interested in, which is like the specific needs of nonprofits, particularly the people who work there and will maintain something long after, whoever builds it for them is gone. You know, what keeping that type of user in mind today, I think a lot of people recommend WordPress, but there are a lot of options out there. Do you think WordPress is the best option for nonprofits, or do you think there are others that are better suited to the needs and the everyday upkeep of a nonprofit?
Generally, I would say 9 times out of 10, yes, WordPress is the best solution for them, primarily because it is a lot easier to learn than a lot of other systems. And it also provides the flexibility because nonprofits, especially smaller ones, they change a lot. They change mm-hmm. what they want to do or how they want to emphasize what they're doing. They have a lot of different campaigns throughout the year. Schools have constantly rotating curriculum and constantly rotating staff and faculty and whatnot. And all of that requires updates to the website. But what I find to be the biggest challenge with nonprofit sites using WordPress or any other system is sometimes there's not a lot of care put into customizing WordPress in a way that's specific to the needs of that nonprofit. And I don't mean like hacking core or anything like that. I mean, like just
sure.
just like customizing the back end to focus to help the users, the nonprofit use staff, basically be able to do exactly the things they want to do. There's some folks who do that really well, freelancers and agencies who really do that really well. But it's an area that I think some people really need to focus on a lot more.
Are there any, so obviously the freelancers and agencies that you mentioned would just be, you'd hire them to do it custom for you. Are there any tools out there that you recommend for customizing the back end, sort of like a turnkey tool for nonprofits?
There's several out there, but generally when I was customizing the back end in any way, I usually just did it by the code. I usually would have a functionality plugin that I would have for that site, just because sometimes those tools themselves can even be just a little bit bulky and can slow the back end down more than it helps anything. But and honestly, there's one that I did use several times, and I'm forgetting the name of it right now. There's a couple of good ones out there, but the one that I did use, I can't remember the name. So.
If it comes to you, just jump in with it. Yeah. Well, so that's interesting. So that's how you got started in, I guess, web development in general. You were teaching, you had to jump in and do some LMS and nonprofit work and help. And then you started helping a buddy build church websites, and that was with WordPress, right? Yep. If I remember our previous conversation correctly, that person's name was Adam.
Yeah,
is that right?
Adam McLean. He's a local guy here in San Diego. He does really great work for churches. Yep.
So what was that like? Because that seems like that's really when you got into WordPress as your go-to development tool. And I'm assuming that's when you started to get involved with the WordPress community, right?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, Adam basically dragged me into it. Yeah.
It's always great when friends know what you need and they're just like, no, come on.
Yeah. And he was already really well connected here in the San Diego WordPress community. And it was basically the exact time that the Advanced WordPress Facebook group and the Advanced WordPress meetup were just getting launched. And
oh, wow. What year was that?
That was 2012.
Okay.
And so he actually, shortly after he and I started working together, he made me a member of the Advanced WordPress Facebook group. At that time, it was a public group. And so anybody could just become a member. I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm just learning this WordPress thing, and now I'm in an advanced group. Like, yeah. This doesn't make any sense. But that was extremely valuable. So,
what was the... 'cause that's a really popular Facebook group. To my knowledge, it's the largest Facebook group for WordPress that I've come across. You're just shy of, well, it looks like you just got over 19,000 members. What did you do in order to be a valuable member right off the bat? Or were you a valuable member right off the bat? What was that like?
I lurked for, honestly, like I mean, in those kinds of environments, I like just like the educational environment, I thrive in those kinds of environments where a whole bunch of people are talking and working together and trying to get things done. And that kind of thing is always exciting for me. And I had never actually participated in an online forum in that way before. But as soon as I jumped in there, I was like, wow, this is actually really, really great, really valuable. I see a lot of overlap with the Moodle type learning community that I was working with in the in the school previously. And so I lurked for, I would say, only like 2 weeks.
And then you jumped right in.
I'm going to ask all my questions because I'm all questions right now. So
yeah.
I really was in there every day, and I really was commenting and questioning and posting and every single day for I don't know, a year.
Oh, wow. So. Well, I think that's one thing that I like to point out when people, I think people like to the idea of getting involved with a bunch of groups, but they see it more as like maybe a marketing or a networking opportunity as opposed to like using the group for what it's used for, for what it was made for.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I like the idea of getting involved with groups and keeping in mind that, you know, you're going to get the most out of it when it's, you have a project in mind and you're going and you're solving specific problems one at a time. And as you learn, you just feed that right back into the group and it kind of snowballs until all of a sudden you're part of this conversation and you don't really have to think about it anymore. You can jump in or out as you need to. I've seen that happen with people, and we have quite a few Divi user groups, and I've seen that happen with a lot of users in there. Is the ones who get the most out of it, both benefits, and the ones who tend to benefit others the most are the people who basically start using it as a utility, but then are just very generous with what they learn themselves.
Yep. That's key. I mean, participation is key. Like, it happens, you know, somewhat regularly that sometimes people in the group today or over the last year or so might be a little bit dissatisfied with what they would call the quality of the group or the advancedness of the questions or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And my response is always the same. Then start asking advanced questions. Start contributing in advanced ways. If you don't like what's happening, then be part of the solution, not part of the griping peanut gallery. So
I think that's always going to be solid advice when it comes to how to, I guess, conduct yourself in these types of groups. So moving on with your story, I think the next stage of your story, right, was going from freelancing and building church websites to actually building some plugins. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What was that transition like?
Well, actually, the one step between there was that I started working part time at Foo Plugins.
Okay.
And that's more of what pushed me into plugin development was working there. So I think that was, when was that? 2013 only, when Adam Warner, another Adam, Adam Warner approached me about doing support for Foo Plugins. And that was actually we launched in April of 2014, I believe. I feel like I might be getting this all wrong. No, it was April 2014. Launch was at WordCamp Miami, actually. And that was my first, my first big WordCamp that I went to, actually. I had been to San Diego the year before, 2013, but, anyway, so Foo Plugins got me into plugin development. Brad Vincent is their lead developer, and he's an excellent developer, and he had to help me a lot in terms of understanding the plugin in order to support it really well. And as he and I interacted and as I took on more and more difficult support requests, I just learned a ton about proper WordPress development.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we've had, when we had Pippin on the show a few episodes back, he talked about, or I guess we both talked about, how support is almost like a stepping stone to being like a junior developer. You know, like if by the time you get really, really good at support, you're basically a developer at that point, and it's really simple to make that transition. I think in terms of that conversation, the context of that discovery or that insight was that, wow, it's really hard to keep good support people because they want to move on to, you know, different jobs where they don't necessarily have to interface with customers every day if that's not their thing.
Yep.
Or, you know, maybe they just like the work of developing more than they like supporting other people's products. Was that what happened with you, or was it maybe just something else?
No, I mean, my role at WordPress now is head of support. And I have two part-time folks working with me now, and we're hiring another one that's going to have an on-ramp to full-time. So our support team here is growing quickly, but
So you're still very passionate about the support aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do enjoy development. There is a big difference when you're doing support code work. It's really debugging. It's really oftentimes it's debugging other people's code. And it can feel a lot more, I don't know, taking things apart more than building something new. Plugin development still by itself is actually really exciting. It's left brain, right brain. It's creative and technical. Whereas debugging is very, very technical. So they're different kinds of things, but the soft skills of support is what I really enjoy. Also, I really do enjoy that.
Can you talk more about soft skills and what kind of soft skills are needed for support?
You got to be a nice person. I mean, like, that's the summary. That's like the nutshell. You have to be nice. You have to be patient. You have to be able to read between the lines in kind of magical ways sometimes, because somebody might be saying something that is perfectly clear to them, but it's not clear to anybody else who would read the ticket.
Sure. I once had a boss, just to interject on that point, he gave me an awesome rule of thumb. He said, the best communicators that you'll ever meet are understood 80% of the time. Mm-hmm. So even the best people are going to be misunderstood 20% mm-hmm. of the time. And, you know, if you're anywhere below that spectrum, you need to factor that into, you know, whether you're 50, 60 or 70% misunderstood, depending on how good of a communicator you are. You need to factor that into the way that you craft your communications and the way that you follow up with people and the way that you confirm. I always thought that was a really cool insight for anyone who has to deal with, you know, either writing messages or just making sure that you're understood. I think that's really common for customer support is, you know, decoding other people and then also making sure that you're very, very clear in how you answer people.
Yep. Yep. The other prong to it though is also what I ended up enjoying. It's a major compliment to plugin development. It's just the way in which support really does enhance and benefit plugin development by itself. Mm. It's kind of the whole UI UX taking customer feedback and user feedback and being able to say, well, you know, while this works, it could work a lot better if we did it this way.
I think a lot of people maybe struggle with that disconnect between what the support people are hearing on the front lines of community interaction and what the developers are going, well, no, this is the best way to do it. That's how we should do it. How have you kind of bridge that gap with the projects that you work on support?
Well, right at WordPress, I'm also really fortunate because Devin and I actually get along really, really well. And Devin really gets it really well. Devin was supporting his plugins before I came on board, and he was doing his own support, and he gets it. He knows what good support is all about, and he knows the value of it. And honestly, like in some ways, that's kind of one of the most important things about being able to have support influence development is having your head of development get it. Having your head of development actually understand that support is the front line of your product and support is the best way to get customer feedback on your product. Because at the end of the day, you know, we can conceptualize what we think the plugin should be doing. It's the same thing about that communication rule you just said. Like, the plugin is ideal for the developer or for how we imagined it or for, you know, we did it exactly how we wanted it.
For the specific use case that you had in mind when you created it.
But then the people start actually using it, actually start implementing it, and they're tripping up over this or that or the other. And that's where support can be like, hey, I'm getting people saying this all the time. So whether or not we did it as best as we could doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, where the rubber hits the road, there's some hitches there, some hangups there.
Sure. Do you guys have any kind of process in place for that? Or is it more like you just walk over to his desk or send him an email and, hey, we should change this?
He's right there. I'm going to say, hey, let's... Hey. Let's work on this.
Hearing good things about
it. we talk about it. We talk about it. We have meetings. We talk about it. We track everything in GitHub. I joke all the time. I wish I had a GitHub repo for my family so I can create issues and resolve them. Because we're religious about.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we're religious about our GitHub over here. So.
I love that. Yeah, I think, I wish life in general just had a ticketing system. I wish, slightly off topic, but there are so many things in life that would be improved if there was a ticketing system. Could you imagine like every single public service every single public office had a ticketing system and they did their, you know, processes by iteration? Whoa, like our lives would be different.
Yep. Yeah. And everybody would be in support. Everybody would work in support.
That's right. Yeah.
There would be an infinite amount of tickets.
So tell us more about how you got involved with the company you work at now, WordPress. What was coming on board there like? And since you started, what has been working there been like?
I was basically, I was freelancing. I was working part-time at Foo, and I basically was, you know, doing fine, and things were good. And but I got jumped into a WooCommerce client who needed some more advanced development, and I needed some help on it. I was like, this is I'm in over my head on this.
This is beyond me.
Yeah. And the only guy I knew who was doing WooCommerce stuff was Devin, because he had released his plugin Quick Checkout, which he had featured at one of our meetups. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's good stuff. So I pinged him. And I was like, hey, I have a WooCommerce project I'd love your help on. And he's like, sure, come on over to our new office and we'll talk about it. And I said, oh, new office. That sounds great. So I headed over there the next day, and we didn't even talk about my client, because he basically said, I have a job that I'd like you to fill. So,
so when he said, come over to our new office, he literally meant our new office.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was basically the long and the short of it. It just sounded great. It sounded like a great fit. Mm-hmm. I was excited about what he was doing and what he wanted to do.
Well, for those who don't know, can you kind of give us the elevator pitch on WordPress, what you guys are all about?
Yeah. At that time, we really were focused primarily just on plugins, and we are still now today, but we didn't have Give at that time. So WordPress has always been about really trying to own that word impress, in terms of we're not going to just put out little tiny things that don't matter. Like, if you're going to get something from us, you're going to be like, yes, this is exactly what I needed. This is how it should work. Because there's so many other avenues and places where you can work in WordPress that are far substandard, that are far less than impressive. And that was what Devin was all about with this company. He had an excellent blog where he wrote some really good detailed articles, and I really enjoy blogging myself, and I really enjoy long form blogging and things that you don't get a lot of in the WordPress space in general. So all of that was really appealing to me, and being able to get into what Devin had envisioned would be a growing and developing team, that was also really exciting to me. So basically being employee number one at first, and now I'm partner number three, actually. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's been really great. So
what has scaling WordPress been like? I mean, you were employee number one. I think that's a bit of a different, perspective than a founder would have. Mm-hmm. And now you're a partner. So you made quite the transition there, even if it didn't seem, I don't know, when you're working on small teams, sometimes you just change your title and nothing else really changes. So it may not seem like a big transition, but I think people would be curious as to what that looked like and how that transition happened.
Yeah. The partnership part was the intention from the beginning, but okay. It was all about scaling. It was all about being able to scale. And in the product space, as you know, as lots of other, and Pippin knows, we talked with Pippin a lot, actually, it really requires a lot of ingenuity, and you have to be able to create enough product to be able to grow and support that product in order to grow. So for us, the being able to scale to the point at which we can start to really grow and start to really, like I said, hiring these team of support folks, for us, the answer was Give. Give is our donation plugin for WordPress. We launched it in April of last year, and that is has really quickly become the majority of our sales revenue.
And that's extensions for Give, because Give's free, right?
Yeah, Give is a free donation plugin, and it's a freemium model similar to what WooCommerce has and Easy Digital Downloads has. It's we have paid add-ons.
Gotcha.
But out of the box, the Give plugin itself will let you do donations. You can have it up and running in 5 minutes if you have a PayPal standard account. And we have some great stories that talk about that on our website.
Feel free to share one, because I feel like the next topic that we wanted to get into, which was something you brought up in our pre-interview, was just this concept of giving back to the WordPress community. Like, you know, we all get so much, whether it's from groups like Advanced WordPress or the, you know, for the Divi community who's listening to this, you know, we get tons from each other, from our Facebook groups, from our blog, the comments there, forums. And you're talking about maybe one of the most important things that you've discovered is giving back and keeping that kind of cycle going. Can you talk more to that point?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big reasons why Give is doing so well is because of how it makes people feel. And it also how it makes us feel. Like we feel like we love the fact that we're benefiting the whole WordPress community with a donation plugin that basically is our tagline for Give is called democratizing generosity. You know, taking the...
Oh, nice. Yeah, instead of democratizing publishing, it's democratizing generosity.
Yeah,
I like that.
We're really trying to help people be generous and help things happen in the world. And having a plugin that actually like promotes that and embodies that and looks like that and feels like that to us, it's really great. We love it. So like one of the stories I was mentioning is a friend of ours, Jesse Peterson. He had a situation, you can read this on our website. He had a situation where he and his family were, they enjoy fostering children, and they had fostered several different children, and a boy came into their life through fostering that suddenly he was in he was a newborn where he suddenly was in the need of needing to be adopted. And it doesn't normally happen that way. There is a foster to adopt track, but having a boy who is suddenly basically parentless is unique and difficult. And for them, they had already been fostering him for several weeks, and he had grown attached to them and they were attached to him. And they're like, he needs a family. So let's make this happen. But the immediate need there was they needed to raise over $10,000 in legal fees. Just,
oh wow.
Yeah. Just
so they could adopt.
Yeah. Which is not standard. Typically when a child is up for adoption, often the city or the state pays for that adoption in one way or another. But because of the unique situation that this boy, his name's Parker, was in, there was a lot of legal fees involved. And they needed those legal fees done within 7 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so he originally thought about using a system like GoFundMe or whatnot, but he stumbled on Give, and he was like, hey, he's a Genesis Pro developer. And he actually, he's like, I can spin this up quickly. So he put together a quick site called surpriseadoption.com and put Give on there, and he had it up and running in a very short amount of time, and they raised over $10,000 in 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was really incredible. We were just so thankful to see that happen. And that was also, it's also a testament to the WordPress community, because Jesse's really well known in the WordPress community. And, so many WordPress folks contributed to that. We have another story very similar to it. I won't go into the whole thing, but Mark Bensikind from Desktop Server also had something very similar where he helped out a homeless family and they needed to get on their feet. And he did the same thing and used Give without any add-ons or anything, just PayPal standard, and raised a ton of money in like 3 days to help help this homeless family get back on their feet. It was another.
So this is like a real deal open source alternative to the like crowdfunding. I mean,
for sure.
This is not like I don't know. I feel like a lot of people do the whole PayPal cart or whatever on their site, the donate button, and you know, they just don't get the same kind of traction that you might get with these other platforms. And given, you know, you kind of have to already have a community that you can promote this to, but that's awesome that it can handle that kind of immediate need.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. I mean, as people keep talking about how WordPress is maturing, you know, just a couple of years ago, nobody really would have taken an e-commerce site seriously on WordPress. Just several years ago, you know. And so of course we see the dominance of WooCommerce in the e-commerce space now.
Huge.
Yeah. And the truth is donations are e-commerce also. And so it's a natural and perfect fit. And the more and more that people start to leverage Give and start to see how easy it is and raising this type of money, I think the more seriously WordPress will be taken in the nonprofit space and as a real platform for online donations.
That's awesome. So clearly this is, you know, the way that you guys at Word Impress found to sort of intersect your own, your needs as a business and your desire to give back to the community. Is there a process that you went through to go, okay, let's narrow down, you know, what do we want to focus on that kind of meets at that intersection of our needs and the community's needs, where we can do both at once? Because everybody, I mean, they only have, we all only have so much time in a given day. So we can't just go around going, I want to give back, so I'm going to commit like 3 hours a day to something that doesn't affect me at all. I mean, nobody wants to be selfish, but it's got to always be some kind of tie-in. Do you guys have any way that you would recommend people go about finding that intersection for themselves?
I think generally it's mostly about getting to know the WordPress space more and more, because there are so many ways that you can give back to the WordPress community. There's just so many, many, many ways that you can give back. And whether that be contributing to documentation online, or helping out to volunteer at your local meetup, or organizing your WordCamp, or just, you know, continuing to produce plugins on the repo, answering support questions on the repo. There's so many things that in ways that you can contribute. So it's just more about getting exposed to all those different ways in order to find the thing that really feels like a natural fit for you. Some folks really enjoy documentation, really enjoy just writing and not having their name public or be seen or anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's a great way to do it. Others want to really be involved in an online community like Advanced WordPress or Intermediate WordPress, any of these other big communities, Divi. So there's lots of ways to get involved. It just depends on what you're looking for. Was that your question?
Yeah, basically it's I guess one thing someone else brought up in another conversation was they recommended that if people want to find what works for them, if they truly have no idea, they should try everything and then stop doing everything except for what sticks, like except for what really resonates with them. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a bit of what you did? Because it sounds like you've been active in a lot of different areas of WordPress community, but now it seems you've kind of found what it is that works for you, and you tend to focus on that. I see you on the Facebook groups quite a bit. Obviously you're supporting your own products, and then Give is like a product version of giving back. Is that a fair characterization of what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I have definitely dabbled in pretty much every way that I can contribute. I have also even contributed to documentation on the codex and things like that, because I do also enjoy that type of writing. But the thing that does seem to stick overall is this plugin development support and the meetup. Honestly, our local meetup, I really enjoy the local meetup a lot. I don't officially organize WordCamps. I kind of rather would not. but I do enjoy them.
They're not insignificant feats of organization. Yeah. You know, there's quite a bit of administration that seems to go on there.
Yeah. It's kind of intense. So, and the meetup keeps me really busy. So, I'm happy contributing there, and the meetups always feel like an educational environment to me. So that's where there's some natural overlap there for me. It's not like a classroom environment, but I mean, a whole bunch of people coming together to talk about what they're passionate about and what they're doing and what they're learning and helping others learn the same. Like that's, I thrive in that kind of situation. So I like meetups a lot.
Very cool. Well, we've covered a ton of material today. We've heard your story and taken a lot of sort of tangents along the way to ask questions and hear your feedback. I really appreciate that. Is there anything about your journey that you feel like is significant enough that you would want to highlight it? We tend to end these podcasts on sort of a parting thought. And I know that we talked about a lot of different things, but if there's one thing you'd want people to take away from your WordPress story and the experiences that you've had working in the WordPress community or volunteering in the WordPress community, as well as being a part of it in a professional capacity, that you would want, you know, people to remember?
Yeah, I think a summary of the things that we were just talking about would be like generosity begets generosity. In every way that I feel like I have given to the WordPress community, I've also felt like it gives back to me. And like what we were saying about online communities. The more that you contribute to the community, the more you actually get out of it.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Matt Cromwell, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the stuff that we talked about in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. I'll make sure that Matt's aware that the episode went live, and I'm sure that he'll be happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. As per usual, anything that we can't answer together between the two of us in the comments can become the topic of a new episode of Divi Nation or a new blog post in the future. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you around the community. And as always, I'll be back next week with another episode of Divi Nation. See you then.